Like Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Mitch Tyke.
And I'm Joy Powers. Many of us like a good mystery. The May issue of Milwaukee Magazine is chock full of real-life mysteries with a decided local flair. The magazine's cover story relates a handful of unsolved mysteries and hidden history from around Wisconsin.
Senior editor Matt Rohde was the guiding force behind the series of features, and he joins us now and explains when it dawned on him that there were so many offbeat mysteries in this state.
They sort of have percolated through the public consciousness for a long time. I mean, a lot of people know about the Haunchyville story, that there's this secret village for small people somewhere in the metro area.
All right, maybe not everybody knows that story. So why don't you tell that story?
Right. I mean, it's a legend. I think it goes back decades, and it's sort of, there's no real, not much space left for it to exist anymore because of development. But there used to be a wooded area in Muskego, close to Mystic Drive, where it was believed that there was some kind of village that was hidden away where small people, perhaps escaped from the circus, were living. And there's this guy who's an albino who carried a shotgun and would scare people off who came to investigate, which were often 17-year-old kids,
right,
with driver's licenses or older people who had a late night. And there were some small structures there off and on, but they don't really exist anymore. And the woods that are there now are pretty small. I don't know what the exact acreage is, but you can almost see from one end of it to the other. So it would have
and
to be
no,
a very
no reports
small.
Of developers going in there to build things and encountering this village.
Right. Nobody got chased out.
You kind of cast a wide net. These are not all Milwaukee. There are some in other parts of the state as far out as Madison, I think. And in fact, let's talk about one of these mysteries from Madison. What do we know about the case of the cross-dressing corpse?
Yeah, that's quite a legend. It's not even a legend. It's an unsolved mystery from the Madison area. There's a music store north of Madison, might still be within the city limits, called Good and Loud. And in 1989, somebody was sweeping around in the basement, and they pulled out some part of the furnace, and behind that they found a corpse wearing a dress and women's shoes, and there are some other articles. And police never were 90% sure that it was actually a man. According to the autopsy, this guy could have died a couple months ago, a couple weeks, a couple years. Just nobody, it was never narrowed down. It's always just been a mystery who this guy was. And one of the weird things about it is the chimney is only about is less than a foot in diameter. So somehow this guy either fell or got crammed into this lower area. So
he either got stuck there or was intentionally placed there.
Right. Yeah. It could have been a burglary is one of the theories, and he was dressed in the way he was as a disguise. Or the police early on put out the idea that maybe he was meeting up with someone there who's expecting to meet a woman, but this didn't go as planned. And so the guy, out of some kind of fit of rage or something, murdered him. And then I guess he would have dragged him up onto the roof. So no particular story just kind of makes complete sense for how this guy got to be where he was.
Well, apparently there's a contact at the Madison Police Department who specializes in cold cases. Do you get the sense, is he actively working on cases like this, or is there really just a guy who's the keeper of the files, and if a lead comes in, he matches it up with things that he's keeping track of?
It didn't sound like they were actively working on this now.
Yeah.
And they got handed over to the FBI at some point, and I was told that they pushed it as far as they could, and that was sort of the end of it. And there was a cast in at one point of what the man's face may have looked like, hoping that would generate leads. Didn't really work, except for one woman thought it looked like a State House page she had known, but
she couldn't remember the guy's name.
So, yeah. And as wishy-washy as face recognition can be, it's who even knows.
Especially circa 1989.
Right, yeah.
All right, so let's go closer to home. Apparently, trailer loads of cheese are something people steal.
There was a rash of it a couple years ago. In 2016, there were a couple of cases. One was valued about $70,000.
A lot of cheese.
Yeah, right. And cargo theft is a thing that happens where you somehow get hitched up to somebody else's trailer and take off with it. But it's tricky because all of a sudden you've got $70,000 worth of one kind of cheese on your hands to unload over the next, before it spoils.
Right. This is not like something you can pull over in a parking lot and sell pants out of your trunk.
Right. For the next 10 years.
Yeah.
And even if you manage to steal a trailer full of tablets or something, I mean, that's still difficult to get rid of. But, yeah, so there's this couple guys from Milwaukee who stole a tractor trailer. Then they took it to a refrigerated warehouse place and got hooked up to a trailer full of different kinds of cheese. And they had been in contact with a grocery store in the city, and they sold it to him. But it ultimately ended up just being destroyed, I think, because for whatever reason— Then the police were able to backtrack to the guys who stole it from the owner. And the
tractor had a GPS tracking device on it anyway,
right,
as well. So that was a solved cheese mystery. But then there's another trailer that just disappeared, right?
Yeah, there's one on the south side that just some guy had parked it and went run an errand or something, and somebody slipped in behind. And I guess somebody had been watching this little parking lot area and just went in and grabbed it.
Interesting. So anybody listening has encountered a trailer full of cheese, maybe this is the one. I wanted to ask you, we go out to Rock Lake in Jefferson County, which apparently is home to some either suspicious landforms or suspicious something else under its surface. What's the story of the alleged underwater pyramids?
Yeah, this is one of the more conflicted stories that we looked at. I mean, mainstream archaeology says, yeah, we just really don't think so. a lot of people of an academic background, of some kind of expert background, have been involved over the years with different groups that have tried to finally uncover the truth. And, there's always this just enough of a trickle of evidence that comes out of, well, that does look kind of weird. It's like, well, yeah. And
they've used sonar on this lake to try to map the bottom of it. And there does look like something down there.
Yeah. That's kind of the latest wave. Yeah.
Good lake reference there.
Right. <sure. laughs> Yeah. And a famous Wisconsin diver, Max Noel, went down early on and saw some things. He saw something that looked like an upside-down ice cream cone, which got...
Only larger, probably.
Right. And that was worth about 50 years of speculation. And
right. He did this in the 30s.
Yeah. A lot of it happens because the lake itself is pretty murky. It's a bit silty. And so it's hard to completely rule stuff out that you can't see. And it's hard for divers to return to the same spot that they had been in before. They say that it's left over from rock pile left over from the glaciers, and you can find it in lakes all over the state. It's not that unusual. And the prevailing pyramid is sort of shaped like a tent, like an army tent, where it's long and triangular. And, So
has anybody checked to see if there is a village of little people inside it?
No. Little mermaids, no.
I wanted to ask you about one other mystery, which maybe it's not a mystery. Maybe it's just a curiosity. But the picture really kind of intrigues me. This is Oak Creek's Road to Nowhere. This is a road that it doesn't really stop. There's just a barricade keeping people from going down the rest of the way, because if they continued the rest of the way, they would go down a lot further.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there used to be no barricade, and there's an accident or two, and now there's a barricade. And it's a place sort of like the Hotchieville area where it's 11 o'clock at night and people feel a wanderlust and they decide to go check it out. People seem to have as many supernatural type experiences there as they do car accidents these days. As people walk up and they see strange ghosts and spirits, But during the daylight hours, there are people walking their dogs and such, and it's right next to a very nice park, so...
And this is a road that just beyond the concrete barrier goes for, what, a half mile or so?
Yeah, it's about a half a mile, and then it just very abruptly stops. It's kind of hard to explain, like why I'm sure
why they built it.
Yeah, and
this is where the bridge over Lake Michigan was going.
Right. Yeah. And it's as if erosion had knocked off what was supposed to be the original end of the road. If you stop by, there's always cars out there, people who are enjoying it or looking for to have something mysterious happen,
like perhaps encounter the angry goat man.
Oh yeah, the goat man.
Who would be? He would be well out of his territory if he were hanging out in Oak Creek.
He shows up in a lot of places. He's kind of a folk character, and this author from Washington County, J. Nathan Couch, who thought of him as such and had researched him pretty extensively and traveled to different parts of the country, I think, and he was seeing it as this was a manifestation of some kind of like Jungian or archetype in the psyche, until he talked to a hunter who had been hunting in the Kewaskum area when one of these things showed up out of nowhere, and it was pretty unmistakable. And he's referred to as the angry goat man, at least in our case, because he was fuming under his breath about trespassers. And so the guy took off pretty quick.
Any other great stories that you uncovered as part of this series of stories?
I found a number of cases of cemeteries that had been moved from one place to the other throughout town. And it turns out that the business of cemeteries isn't always as neat and tidy as one may think. And sometimes they get stacked up one, two, three bodies on top of another. Sometimes they get moved. And then when they get moved and they're very old, they're not good records necessarily about where the bodies are, so you end up with a bunch that are just left behind. So yeah, no, these are pretty dense areas of the cities nowadays. So you've got bodies just kind of tucked into the margins and that you don't even realize that are there, that have just been lost to time.
And then one day somebody is digging and all of a sudden unearths this cache of bodies.
Right, yeah, it happens all the time. And that can complicate things immensely for whoever's project that is. Yeah, so they're out there.
All right. Matt Rohde, thanks.
Thank you.
Matt Rohde is senior editor at Milwaukee Magazine. The Unsolved Mysteries series is the cover story in the May issue.
Another break now, and then the story of the rebirth of a shuttered greenhouse on the north side of Milwaukee. This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee's NPR.